Welcome to the monthly Three-Edge View from the Edge for April 2026. I'm Fritz Foltz, the Chief Investment Strategist here at Three-Edge, and joining me here today, as he does every month, is Eric Biegeleisen, Director of Investment Research and the Deputy Chief Investment Officer here at Three-Edge Asset Management. And as we do each month, Eric will provide our firm's most recent outlook for the global capital markets, which is based on our proprietary Three-Edge research model. Have a lot to get to today, so let's get started. The recent ceasefire between Iran and the U.S., which sparked a relief rally in global equities, is largely holding for now. However, many questions remain. As the U.S. and Iran prepare to hold talks, there are a plethora of potential stumbling blocks to a more permanent cessation of hostilities. And additionally, questions remain as to whether the Strait of Hormuz will be open, remain open, or not. Now, as we're facing this two-week ceasefire negotiations between the U.S. and Iran, I'll turn things over to Eric, and he will go through our three-edge asset class matrix, and that will show what we are picking up in the, you know, just shortly after the ceasefire has been declared. So I'll turn it over to you, Eric, and you can go through the matrix.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Fritz. You know, as you already alluded to, the current announced ceasefire between Iran and the U.S. definitely has sparked a relief rally in the global equity markets. But also, as you suggested, many questions remain. We have a very difficult negotiating period ahead with both sides seemingly entrenched in their own positions that do not seem to overlap. And the nature of this ceasefire is quite fragile, as evidenced by the continuing barrage of attacks from Israel to Lebanon just yesterday. At the time of this recording. You know, investor behavioral signals from our model research do indicate the prospect for a rebound in U.S. and Japanese equities in particular, as well as a degree of profit taking perhaps in commodities. So you're seeing that bear out here as those three arrows on the asset class matrix, at least here and here in the short term. No doubt, as you mentioned, Fritz, our model research is updating a bit more frequently with more aggressive changes perhaps that we're seeing since the start of the conflict at the end of February. So largely just to review, US and Japan moving up just slightly, largely on investor behavioral signals and commodities taking a bit of a step back, but still positive.
Excellent. All right. So as you indicated, US and Japanese equities moving up slightly anyway, slightly higher. So maybe if you could just cover those two equity asset classes in greater detail and let us know what we're seeing there.
Sure, yeah. So in terms of U.S. equities, you know, investor behavioral signals from our model research are indicating a potential rebound in U.S. equities at least here in the near term. That said, U.S. equities are still vulnerable given the overvalued nature of the S&P 500 index, something we've talked about for quite some time, and we're seeing some early signs of potential credit contraction. And so if we take a look here at this, it's just one particular image to take a look at. We're seeing investment-grade corporate bonds in the tech sector, which have historically, over the last 20-plus years, have been tighter than the broad-based index with which they're a part of. But now you're seeing right there, all the way to the right at the end, you're seeing that tick up just above the index, suggesting some concern in what was considered a safer sector with tighter spreads than the overall index, now getting a little wider than the overall index. Not a reason to rush to sell everything, but just an interesting note about that. You know, this could play out in terms of the vulnerability and the potential for a large drawdown. This could play out from, you know, this U.S.-Israel-Iran conflict being extended or escalating even further from here. Other geopolitical conflicts could take off, including Russia-Ukraine, North Korea, China-Taiwan, other exogenous shocks, or even just general tightening liquidity concerns. So near term, the potential for a bounce is here, but also there's still much to be concerned about. And then in terms of Japanese equities, you know, similar to the U.S., investor behavioral signals from our model research are showing the potential for a rebound in Japanese equities, at least here in the near term. Japan is severely affected by the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which we've talked about in prior videos. It does import over 90% of its oil from the Middle East. Should this current ceasefire hold and lead to an opening of that strait with oil flowing through, you know, Japan may be well positioned for a sustained rebound. You can see here, the trickle of ships just getting through now will need to see a substantial increase to get the world back on the right footing in terms of getting energy and other products through that strait. You know, in terms of other equity asset classes, including Europe, emerging markets, India, you know, it really all tied to the ceasefire. Should that lead to a more permanent end of these hostilities, you know, alongside a decrease in the price of oil and natural gas, then these other international equity asset classes could certainly experience a more durable rally as well.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. All right. So now we'll shift our attention away from stock market to the bond market and the U.S. Treasury market, where, you know, in response to the ceasefire, we saw the yields come down, the prices rise. But what is the model indicating now in terms of the rates market, in terms of U.S. Treasuries?
Yeah, well, since the outbreak of the war here in Iran, inflation expectations have just continued to rise in March to over 5% as measured by the one-year break-even inflation rate. You know, it started the year at just over 2%. So that is a pretty big climb in such a short period of time. You know, even with a ceasefire, the potential for rising inflation and therefore rising yields more broadly does remain a risk that we continue to monitor. And that just continues to support this idea and this decision we've made to concentrate our fixed income investments in shorter term maturities and higher quality issues like treasuries. You know, the Fed is in a tough position. We've talked about this for some time with its dual mandate of full employment as well as price stability. And it has this crude tool of short-term interest rates that must be used now in opposite ways to address both of those goals here in the current state, right? You want to lower rates to boost employment, but you also want to raise rates to combat inflation. You can see here, market participants are pricing in a slight easing through 2027. That's the orange dotted line. Very different from what the markets were pricing in at the end of February. The orange line is the end of February there, going much lower. More recently, April 7, April 8 lines in blue and yellow, much more muted, very shallow in terms of expected rate reductions.
All right, great. So let's turn our attention to real assets. That would include gold and commodities. And why don't we begin with gold, which has seen some selling pressure in here.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen some selling pressure on gold, more in a consolidation period now. That said, we do maintain a longer-term favorable outlook on gold. And that thesis has been predicated on this idea of the profligate government spending we've seen here in the U.S., an interest debt service burden that's climbed north of $1 trillion per year and probably growing, particularly on the heels of the increased cost for this war. The strong performance of gold last year and the continued run-up we saw in January of 2026, that's helped fuel the correction with the outbreak of the war as investors and central banks alike are taking profits from their gold holdings to generate liquidity during the conflict. As you can see here, this is just one case, but Turkey central bank reserves, they've been a bit of a poster child for someone selling gold to support their currency, you know, to gain emergency liquidity. To help their economy out. That said, post-conflict, longer term, we do expect central banks around the globe to continue to diversify away their dollar-based holdings, that is U.S. dollars, U.S. government debt, while increasing their gold holdings. So should the Federal Reserve focus more on the weakening job numbers than on the threat of rising inflation and lower rates, you know, gold could see additional upside as well.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So staying in the real asset category, looking at commodities, where obviously the increase in oil and gas and other commodities with the outbreak of the war, but now with the ceasefire in place, what is our model picking up there?
So this is one where we took a little bit of a step back in our outlook, but still positive. You know, investor behavioral signals from our model are indicating the prospect for a degree of profit taking, at least here in the short term. There has been much speculation about the energy independence of the United States and our net exporting position, and that we should be insulated from energy price hikes in the Middle East. This chart here shows that in some cases, prices rose here in the U.S. even more than in other countries. That dotted line is meant to represent, it's a ratio of U.S. prices paid versus non-U.S. prices paid, or things that in theory have been impacted by this conflict. And you can see fuel and crude oil and gasoline prices north of 100% there, indicating that actually U.S. consumers are paying more than the non-U.S. counterparts. Just a good reminder that the global capital markets are more interconnected than it may seem.
Absolutely. All right. So now maybe as we wrap it up, maybe you've just we'll take one more quick look at the asset class matrix, walk us through that, just because we're in such a potential inflection point where things could change. So just a wrap-up summary, and we'll take one last look at the asset class matrix.
Yeah, absolutely. Things are definitely in flux day-to-day with the headlines and all of the action occurring globally. But in summary, we're finding the pocket of potential outperformance here short-term in the U.S. and developed Asia, specifically Japan. Commodities still attractive, but maybe move down a peg. Gold still attractive long-term, still positive, slightly above cash there. We do like cash as an asset. We're holding on to that dry powder, ready to deploy it opportunistically if that situation arises.
Excellent. Great. Eric, thank you very much for helping us sort out what is a very potentially confusing period of time here. So that will do it. This month's edition of the Three Edge View from the Edge. If you'd like a hard copy of our full View from the Edge newsletter for this month, that you will find that on our website. And that is 3edgeam.com. As a reminder, our entire library of video content is always available on our 3Edge YouTube channel. And if you would be so kind as to subscribe to our 3Edge channel, we would be most appreciative. So on behalf of Eric and everyone here at 3Edge, thanks for listening.
This commentary is intended for information purposes only and does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities. The opinions expressed in View from the Edge are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagleisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. This commentary is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and financial situation of the listener. Investors should only seek investment advice from their financial advisor. The observations include information from sources that 3Edge believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, all involve a risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear.